Father, we thank you so much for the truth of what we've just been singing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the amazing love of you, the one true, mighty, eternal, all-powerful God who loves us and who cared enough for us to rescue us from our sin-condemned condition. Lord, we're thankful for this. Thank you for this day that we can gather together, that we can lift our voices, and I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that you would have liberty in this place, that the Spirit of God might work. And I pray that you bless all that's said and done for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 45. We are going to be continuing here in the series, Point of Doctrine. And today we're going to be talking about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. The sovereignty of God and the free will of man. How important it is for us to have a biblical picture of God. And for the last numerous weeks, we have been looking at many different aspects of who our God is. And this morning, we're going to look at his sovereignty and what that means, and the responsibility he's given to us, a free will. And so Isaiah 45, we are going to begin with verse number 18. Isaiah 45, verse number 18. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain, or seek ye me without purpose." Now there is a purpose to seek the Lord. "I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." Let's skip down to middle of verse 21. "And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior." Oh, I love that verse. A just God and a Savior. "There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, and the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." Yes, indeed, he is God, the sovereign. Sovereign Lord God, consider a few verses from chapter 46. Isaiah 46, look at verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are sovereign. Lord, we can see how evil is plaguing this planet, plaguing this country, and in so many ways has plagued each of our lives. But for you, Lord, to deliver us by the Savior from sin itself, from death, and from hell. Lord, thank you for this, your saving grace, And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the higher ways that you have. Lord, we so easily question why there's evil and pain and suffering in this world. But Lord, help us to have a little glimpse at least of your bigger picture. Help us to understand our individual responsibility that you have desired to give to us sovereignly. Lord, thank you for this. And I pray that you just guide our time in your word by your Holy Spirit. Give me the words to say. I yield myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The sovereignty of God and the free will of man. First of all, I'd like you to note here this morning, God is sovereign over all. God is sovereign over all. Consider Daniel chapter 3 and verse 35. Daniel 3 verse 35. This is what Nebuchadnezzar learned when God taught him a lesson of who's in charge. Nebuchadnezzar had been one of the greatest kings of his time, one of the most powerful kings in his day. And Babylon was expanding and growing, and it was powerful. He thought he was invincible. And then God brought him to his knees, literally. God took the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar. And God made Nebuchadnezzar to eat grass in the pasture like an ox. For 7 years, he grazed with the wild animals. And after that, and God raised Nebuchadnezzar back up and installed him back as king in Babylon. And under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, these words were penned. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. This is just a portion of them, of course, but in this verse, Nebuchadnezzar says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" Nebuchadnezzar learned who was in charge. He learned that God was sovereign over all. He learned that God sets up kings and takes kings down. He learned that God is the giver of power. He learned that God can quickly intervene. And many more things Nebuchadnezzar learned in God's school in the pasture. But you know what? God is sovereign over all. We could look at numerous verses. We could look at verses for an hour or more, no doubt more, talking about the sovereignty of God. But I'm going to take note of what the dictionary says about what it means to be sovereign. And so let's notice here, sovereignty defined. Sovereignty defined. And most of the definition here is directly from Webster's 1828 dictionary. I got just a couple of lines from Merriam-Webster that are noted. And so consider this. Sovereign, as an adjective, supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion as a sovereign prince. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. Again, direct quote from the dictionary. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe. And then from Merriam-Webster had these words, unlimited in extent. Unlimited. In other words, sovereign. What does it mean? Unlimited. It describes someone with that supreme power. Notice the second aspect here given in the dictionary. Supreme, superior to all others, chief. And we could certainly add king or queen or what you would like in one of those type of words. the Supreme One. And so, obviously, sovereign has been used to refer to a king as they, or a queen, as they reign in their kingdom, right? It's a limited kingdom, obviously, and they're not God, but they have sometimes been called a sovereign over a limited area. But truly, when we think about God, he is the only sovereign. He's the one who is sovereign over all, the supreme of all. The one who is truly unlimited in his power. Well, a king may be unchecked in his power. That's probably not healthy. The God-fearing men who prayed this nation into existence, they desired the different branches that we see in our government that keep one another in check, and a nation that is governed by laws, and all of these things are limiting factors to the presidency, for example. And for good reason, as we can well see. Let's look at the definition of sovereign as a noun. Notice here it says, a supreme lord or ruler. One who possesses the highest authority without control. In other words, unbridled or unrestrained. Some earthly princes, kings, and emperors are sovereigns in their dominions. Let's look at the word sovereignty. Sovereignty as a noun. Supreme power, supremacy, the position of the highest power or of uncontrollable power. Absolute sovereignty belongs to God only. And I agree with that. Merriam-Webster had this additional thing there. Freedom from external control. Sovereignty. Freedom from external control. And that really is the simple description. You probably didn't learn anything too terribly new in that definition, but it just simply laid out what does it mean to be sovereign. Freedom from external control. And I'll tell you what, that describes our God. He is not controlled by any other. He is not subject to any other. He is God alone, as we have read this morning. And from Daniel there in chapter 4, none can stay his hand. Nobody can stop God from doing what God wants to do. No one can stop God. No one can limit God unless God allows them to limit him. Unless God defers to another to allow them to make choices. But God sovereignly gives that. He can take it away. He is under no obligation to give you any freedom. But God is actually big on freedom. He's big on freedom. I think our founding fathers had quite an inspiration of biblical values and the value of freedom and checks and balances for sinful creatures like we are. And boy, I'll tell you what, our country would be a whole lot better off if we'd follow the Constitution. Yes, yes indeed. As it was written, in fact. And so, God is sovereign. So, I want you to understand that when we talk about sovereignty, it is not divine determinism. In other words, to be sovereign doesn't mean that you meticulously determine every decision for your subjects. Okay? A king does not, nor should not, some have tried, and they've been tyrants, but a king should not determine every decision that the citizens of his realm make, right? The king is over that, but there should be a measure of freedom. Of course, there's guardrails, there's guidelines, and in our nation we have laws which should be duly made and properly upheld and all of those things. But God, though he is indeed sovereign, that does not mean that he makes every decision. I mentioned last week in the message, I talked about a chess game, a chess board, and it's simply an illustration. God is sovereign. He controls, let me put it this way, he can control the whole board. I mean, he could choose to absolutely control the whole board. But he has chosen to actually give us a free will. He's chosen to let others play their pieces. He's actually given them real and significant choices. In other words, you can choose hell if you want, or you can choose heaven by choosing Jesus. These are real choices that every human being can make and must make. And so God is sovereign, but that doesn't mean, even though he is powerful and he could make every decision and he has the right to do it, but that does not mean that he does make every decision for you. There are many decisions he lets you make. So, let's go to sovereignty explained. Sovereignty explained. God has absolute right and absolute power to run the universe as he wants to, and to run your life as he wants to. But that does not mean that he runs your life, because he has sovereignly given man a free will. And so let's go to Acts 17. We looked at this last week, but I would like to come back here and just touch on this scripture in Acts 17. The Apostle Paul has come to Athens, and he is reaching out to some very idolatrous and superstitious people, and he is helping them to understand the true and living God. And we'll begin our reading in Acts 17 and verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You know, our lives are in God's hands. The very fact of when you were born, the very fact of who you are and your gender, the very fact of how long your life will be, these are things that are in God's hands. Now, I think that there are many, God has obviously given us many choices, and we can prematurely, we could potentially shorten our life. God could intervene and say, no, you're not. I mean, see, God's still sovereign. He can give you free will, and he has, and he does, and he's in control of all things. And he can take over the wheel at any time, but he's given you real choices. And many times, he does not intervene. He allows you to make choices, and he allows people every day to make choices, good and many bad. Verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. You know, it is God that sustains us. It's the reason we could get up this morning. It's the reason we could be here this morning. It's the reason you could tune in this morning and you're alive and breathing. It's because God gave us life today. God sustains this universe. Man could not destroy this universe if he wanted to. Because God says that's not going to happen until his time. I think we ought to be good stewards of the planet, that's for sure. Make your bed, put your trash in the right place, brush your teeth, you know, be a good steward. But you know what? We ought to recognize that God is sovereign. Sovereign over all. And so, let's think about this. Sovereignty explained. God has absolute right and absolute power to run the universe as he wants to. He's the creator and sustainer of all things. It's his. It's his. Point to anything. It's all his. It's all his. So, we come to the question. If God has the ability and the right to do whatever he wants in this world, then why is there evil? And so much of it. Why is there evil? Is it because God wants evil in the world? No. No, it is not God's will that there be evil in the world. But the higher purpose and plan of God is, his will is that mankind would have a free will. Thus, there is evil in the world. Because God desires men, people, individuals to make real decisions, good or bad, thereby giving that freedom, God full well knows, yes, many will choose wrong. Many will do wrong. Thus, there is evil in the world. God evidently and obviously has allowed even the angels to make choices. Lucifer, a beautiful created angel, perfect and beautiful for the glory of God, rose up in pride, the Bible tells us, and rebelled against God. And it seems drew in his rebellion, when he was kicked out of heaven, drew 1/3 of the angelic host with him. God could have immediately annihilated them, immediately put them in prison, immediately destroyed them. But in God's infinite purposes, he has allowed that wicked one and his hosts to continue playing their side, as it were, of the chess game. You see, my God is bigger than any. My God is more wise. My God is more powerful than any. And you know what? If God had short-circuited every and cut swiftly every evil deed and the devil we would never even know about and all these things, you might say, wow, that would be heaven on earth. Yes, but we wouldn't know it's heaven. God is bringing mankind, and I don't understand it all, but I'm just, this is my thought. God is bringing this all about. He is seeing this, and we are realizing the goodness of God in redeeming us from what we make of ourselves. He is helping us to see our frailness, helping us to see his greatness. He is helping us to know what real love is through trial and tribulation. He is helping us. You see, God's ways are higher than our ways. Oh, how foolish we would be to think we know better than God. My abilities and my mind, oh, it's amazing, it's great, it's magnificent in many ways. God made it. But you know what? It's nothing. Nothing. In comparison to God's wisdom, to God's design. Why did God let Job suffer? Why did God say, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He is a good man. There's none like him in all the earth. I'll tell you what, let me just put it this way very plainly. Job was a better man after coming through the trials God allowed in his life. Job was a better man. Yes, he lost 10 children, but God gave him 10 more, and he had all 20. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is sovereign. And God has sovereignly given man a free will. And so obviously, the realness of our free will includes the opportunity for us to not please God. God is big enough to allow you to make that choice. You can say, "Yes, I'll love God. Yes, I'll please God." Or you can go your own way. You know, we think about miracles. Miracles. You know what a miracle is? It's when God steps in and interjects himself into the normal patterns, the normal laws of nature, and says, "Hold on. You boisterous winds, you be still." Yes, the storms happen, and this is the Creator's design of the whole system. And yes, because of sin, things, there's death, there's destruction, and these are part of the curse. But the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his earthly, human yet divine, human body yet the divine Son of God there, in that ship on the beautiful Sea of Galilee with those seasoned fishermen, while he was resting in his tiredness of his humanity, oh yes, in fact, God knows what it's like to be you. He suffered with sin himself, temptation, my sin on his shoulders on the cross. He's faced death. He has identified with the frailness of the human frame. Why? Why not escape that? That suffering. That anguish. Why? So he might be a loving and faithful high priest for us. Oh yes, God's ways are higher than our ways. He prayed, "Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. Your will, Father. Thy will." You know what a miracle is? I was started there. When God interjects into the normal laws of nature and says, "We're going to do it a special way. We're going to do it a special way." Those deadly waves that would have capsized that Galilean ship. "Be still." And there was a great calm. Jesus hears about a friend, a good friend, a family he really loved in a special manner. Lazarus is sick. He got word, "Come right away." Well, he hangs around before he packs his bags. He doesn't go immediately, and when he finally gets to where Lazarus lived, he finds the funeral's already happened. That was no surprise, of course, to Jesus, but nonetheless, he comes there and he weeps. He weeps there with the family. He cries there before the gravesite, "Lazarus." And then he speaks the word, "Lazarus, come forth." You see, he intervened in the normal laws of nature. When people die, they die. Their bodies are dead. They begin, you know, was it Mary or Martha? Which one of them said, Lord, by now it's been 4 days. He's going to stink. The normal laws of nature. But Jesus said, You see, he can intervene. That's a miracle. He changes things. There had been many sick people. They couldn't walk. He's 40 years old. He can't walk. There's no physical reason in all the world that he should walk. But God says, we'll make a special exception. And he can walk. And he can see. And this one can do this. And this one can do that. You see, God does a miracle. I think of even some of the first century disciples that spoke the word of God in a language they'd never learned. God said, this is what I want to do. It breaks the laws of nature. It's a divine thing. God worked a miracle. God works miracles in our day too. Answers to prayer. God has, we could go on. God has done amazing things in people's lives when they pray. Faith can move mountains, not with big bulldozers and earth movers, but with a simple widow's prayer. Yes, God is sovereign, and he has sovereignly given mankind a free will. Our time is up. I'm just going to note Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. We'll start here, Lord willing, next time. God says there, specifically to the people of Israel, but he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. This is just one instance, but a very vivid one where God says, I've given you real choices, extremely different choices, life, death, blessing, cursing. Choice is yours. We'll look at the broader passage next week, Lord willing. You see, each of us have a response ability. We can respond to the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. You see, those who turn to God, those who seek God, those who receive what God has already given, the testimony even in the creation of his mighty power in Godhead, those who receive that light, God will send more light. God says, you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God is always, always looking for someone seeking, for someone humble, for someone looking for him. And he draws near to them. I'll tell you what, we've got a really good God. He is sovereign, but he's no tyrant. He is good. He is great. We'll close it there this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we've been able to think on. So many big, big thoughts. Lord, help us to discern these mysterious ways. Ways that are higher than our ways, deeper, but so purposeful. Lord, I'm thankful you're in control even amidst all the evil, which you don't like either. You don't like all this evil. That's why you've gone to prepare a place. A place where there is no sin, no evil, no corruption for all those who want it. Thank you for loving us to send your Son so that we could be delivered from this corruption. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.